What's up, you guys? I'm Andrea.
And I'm Haley.
And you're listening to Inhuman, a true crime podcast. Spooky season!
Spooky season, and I am terrified for this episode, and I hope that you guys know how much I love you that I'm sitting here recording this episode with Andrea, because I am absolutely fucking terrified out of my mind.
Well, I have already decided, and I told Haley this earlier, I have my white sage ready to go, and I'm gonna bless my house after this.
Okay, so what am I supposed to do?
It's not in your house. Like, it's the words and the pictures.
I guess, but still.
Go buy some white sage.
All right, I might. It's going to be a good episode, though.
Make sure when you're blessing your house, you open a door so any negative spirits can leave.
Okay.
Or a window, if you don't want to, like, just open your door. Okay. All right, guys. So now that we've, like, really amped this up. So I had originally planned to do a different case this week. Like, we kind of plan out our cases in advance, and a lot of times
and usually end up changing them.
Yeah, a lot of times we switch them up last minute for various reasons. But so pretty much last minute, I decided I was going to change my case this week. So I wanted to do something creepy to kind of kick off spooky season. Haley did kind of a creepy case on her Monday episode, so I was like, let me go ahead and give them a little bit more, and then I'll be back with our regular true crime next week. So, but we do have more spooky cases for you guys this month, I guess you could say. So I hope y'all are into that, because that's what we're gonna be dishing out.
And if you're not, there's also like some that are related to Halloween and spooky season, but are not spooky. So don't worry.
Right.
Like, there's still going to be normal, I guess, quote unquote, normal true crime cases. But we're also throwing in some spooky, haunted, creepy shit because it's spooky season.
Yeah, you have to. And I don't know if you guys, like, if whoever follows us over on Instagram, Haley put up a question box asking, like, what spooky, creepy stories or cases that you guys want to listen to us tell. And we actually had a listener request this case also, so I'd already decided to do it, and then someone requested it. So Rhonda, thank you so much for suggesting that. So this one's for you too, but today I am covering the very creepy, very unsettling Robert the Doll.
And I will not be saying his name. I will not say it.
I know. I actually Googled if there was, like, you know, like Bloody Mary, like you're not supposed to say her name three times in a row. I actually Googled if there's like anything like that, because I say his name a lot in this story, obviously.
So I don't remember much about this story, but I heard it on And That's Why We Drink, which if you guys haven't listened to that podcast, go check it out. They're awesome.
Yeah.
But one of the hosts, M, they cover this case, and I think it's like an older episode. I really don't know which episode, but they cover it, and they said that after they covered that, listeners like said that they had like weird experiences while listening, or like things happening to them, like them being sick, or like all of this stuff after like listening to this case and or talking about this. So now they only refer to it as RTD. I think that's what they refer to it as. But they, like, won't say his name. There's a couple other dolls that they've done, and it's, like, the same thing. But I literally have a to-do list, and on my to-do list, I wrote down edit, because I have to edit this episode tonight, and I wrote down edit RTD. Like, I will not say, I will not speak, I will not, I'm not even going to type it. I'm going to make Andrea send it to me and copy and paste it to, like, upload the episode. Like, I am not, I'm so freaked out.
Okay, you're freaking me out, because, like, that is kind of, like, what you hear about this story. Like, it does overtake everything around it.
So as long as we're respectful.
Yes, I think I was very respectful in my
writing. We are all being very respectful. And when you're listening, just say a little in your head, I respect you.
Yes. And if you do have any like weird experiences while listening to this, we definitely want to know about it. So
yeah, let us know.
Send us a DM. A DM? Yeah, a DM on Instagram. Yeah, DM. Or email us, whatever. Anyway, enough about our freaked outness. Let's just jump into this story so we can get it over with.
Yes, please.
Okay, so for those of you who don't know, Robert the Doll, he was created, well, I'll tell you first who he was created for. So back in the early 1900s, a little boy named Eugene Robert Odo was given a very unique handmade doll as a birthday gift from his grandfather, who had purchased the doll during a trip to Germany in 1904.
Okay.
However, there is contradicting folklore, if you will, that many believe the doll was made by one of the family's young handmaids or housemaids who cursed it in retaliation for some wrongdoings. And allegedly, she put like a voodoo hex on Mr. RTD.
Okay.
So we don't know for sure, but those are the two stories as to how this doll came into existence.
Okay.
So Eugene, who went by Gene, decided to name his new doll Robert, and soon he became very attached to Robert and literally brought him everywhere he went.
Okay.
Some say that the boy began using his own middle name, Eugene, which was shortened to Gene, because the doll's name was Robert.
Okay.
So he went from being known as Robert to wanting to be called Gene.
Mm-hmm.
A child. Okay. Mm-hmm. You know, kids are weird, though. They do that. You know, sometimes kids are like, call me Batman. Like, whatever.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So Gene referred to Robert in the first person. He would talk to him. He would, like I said, carry him all around. And a lot of people viewed this relationship as unhealthy, but others saw it as just innocent, a boy hanging out with his toy. You know, a lot of kids get really attached to certain objects, especially when they're very little, like blankets and teddy bears. So a lot of people were like, oh, it's just one of those situations. It's no big deal.
Yeah.
So as Gene grew older, he ended up building Robert his own room in their attic, complete with furniture and toys of his own. He even had his own little teddy bear. However, as time went on, strange things began happening, and it seemed as though Robert the Doll was at the center of it all. According to the legend, young Gene would blame mishaps on Robert. While this could easily have been chalked up to the fibs of a child, adults began noticing odd occurrences as well, especially as Gene got older. Gene was heard by adults in his home whispering to Robert, which, like I just said, is not super uncommon, but what was unusual was that Gene's parents and the servants in the house would hear a deeper voice answering back to Gene.
No.
Then, when Gene was 10 years old, he woke up and found Robert sitting at the end of his bed staring back at him.
Oh, hell no.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Gene's mother was then awakened by him screaming out for help. Then the sounds of furniture being overturned echoed from Gene's bedroom. She then heard Gene cry out, begging his mother to save him. When she was finally able to open the locked door, she saw her son curled up in a ball on his bed in total fear, in total shock, and his room was a complete mess, and Robert the Doll was sitting at the foot of his bed.
Just sitting there?
Just sitting there.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm.
The older Gene got, the more sinister the occurrence became. Allegedly, mutilated toys would appear out of nowhere, and Gene claimed it wasn't him, it was Robert. Another tale was that once a plumber was visiting the family's home to make repairs around the house, and the man heard children laughing, despite no one being home at the time.
Oh, children's laughing is so freaky.
Yeah, it is. Especially because, like, you know, I think I've said this before in another episode, but a lot of, I guess, more Christian-based beliefs believe that, you know, because children are pure of spirit, pure of heart, that they don't, like, linger after death.
Right.
So they don't think that children can actually
Huh.
be ghosts. So they are most
Interesting.
likely evil spirits trying to trick you.
Interesting. Okay, that's
Yeah.
freaky.
Take that, you know, how you will.
Yeah.
So when he went to check out the room where he heard the laughter, he noticed that Robert the doll had moved from one side of the window to the other, seemingly on his own. Not only that, but the plumber swore that objects that had been sitting in Robert's lap ended up on the other side of the room as if they'd been thrown.
Oh, geez, okay.
And again, no one was home. It's rumored that the family would hire servants to work in their home, and soon after they arrived, they would abruptly quit because of the fear they had for the doll.
Right.
Then there was an aunt of Jean's who banished Robert to the attic, and later that same night, she passed away.
That's so sad.
I know. Like, what a coincidence, you know? Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
The Otto family claimed that they would hear Robert moving about in the upstairs portion of the house, the pitter-patter of his footsteps heard on the ceiling, though they knew no one was up there but him. The family even stated they would hear him giggle in the middle of the night.
I don't like that.
Yeah. When Gene was entering adulthood, he decided to go to college at the Academy of Fine Arts in Chicago. After this, he moved to New York to study at the Art Students League. Jean then moved to Paris to attend the Parisian Sorbonne, where he eventually met his future wife, Anne. After the two were married, they moved back to Jean's family home because Jean's parents had passed away and they had left Jean the home in their will. And Jean became an artist, which is something he had always strived, you know, to achieve. While he worked, there was Robert propped up in the window. School children and really anyone who walked by their home said they would see the doll disappear and reappear before their very eyes. Most people avoided the house altogether in fear of catching Robert's eye. Eugene's wife, Anne, was creeped out by the doll, to say the least, and she too eventually banished him back to the attic. Of course, Robert did not take too kindly to this banishment. Jean warned his wife that Robert was very angry with her. So this is a grown man, okay? Like a,
That's
whoa.
so creepy.
Yeah. Visitors to their home would hear footsteps in the attic, much like his parents, and they would hear the sounds of someone pacing back and forth, along with evil laughs. So a lot of people think that he was like in distress, or he was just like so pissed off the whole time he was up in the attic that he was just kind of pacing back and forth because there like wasn't, you know,
Right.
a lot he could do, I guess. I mean, obviously, if he's like a possessed doll, like he could do a lot of different things, but
Right.
like he was just pissed off just pacing back and forth.
Right.
Soon as a result of the banishment, Jean was encouraged to move Robert into the Tourette room of the house because, quote, Robert wanted a room with a view of the street.
Oh.
And after that, Jean spent all of his time in the Tourette room with Robert, painting and talking to his doll until his death in 1974, where he passed with Robert by his side. Anne, completely heartbroken, sold the home to a woman named Myrtle Reuter. And along with the house, Myrtle inherited Robert the doll. Now, in some of the sources, I read that Myrtle had a 10-year-old daughter, but only like two of the sources said that, so I'm not exactly sure how true that is. But according to those two sources, she had a 10-year-old daughter. The daughter tried to, you know, befriend Robert the doll and play with him, and she began having horrible nightmares.
Okay.
So again, Robert was banished to the attic, essentially.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But Myrtle did substantiate most of Jean's claims about Robert, and she would also find Robert in entirely different places than where she had left him, because initially she did, like, have him out and, you know, on display, I guess you could say.
Right.
When she invited visitors into her home, they would instantly get a strange vibe, mostly from the doll, I assume. And mm-hmm. they also reported that he would appear and disappear at will.
That's what freaks me out the most, that, like,
so many just, people. Like,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Appear to all these people. Ugh.
Yeah. Mm-mm. They also claimed that, have you ever seen him? Like, what he looks like?
Nope. And I'm not looking it up.
Okay. Well, he has a very, well, he's very worn because he's over 100 years old at this point. But I guess at one point he had paint on his face like a jester.
Oh, okay.
You can imagine that. But there's no paint on his face. So it's just kind of like a flat, it reminds me of like a puppet. Like a sock puppet that doesn't really have a lot of, like, form to his face.
Right.
But they would claim that, like, he would get these creepy expressions. Like, he would have, like, his normal face, and then all of a sudden he'd have this, like, sinister smile.
Like, it would
or,
change.
Like, a scowl. Yeah, like, he could actually change the features of his face. Like, there's many accounts of that.
Okay.
Yeah. And that he would get these, like, angry faces if anyone discussed Jean, especially if they discussed him in a negative way.
Okay.
In 1994, Myrtle donated Robert to the Fort East Martello Museum in Key West, Florida. Since Robert's arrival at the museum, visitors have flocked from all over the world to get a look at the impish doll. He has appeared on TV shows such as Ghost Adventures, Haunted Museums episode. He has had his aura photographed, which, like, I low-key kind of want to do that.
Go ahead. Be my guest.
He is a stop on a ghost tour, and he has inspired many horror movies, such as The Curse of Robert the Doll.
Mm-hmm.
Robert has his own Wikipedia page and social media accounts like Facebook and Twitter.
He has social media accounts?
Yep.
That's awesome. You go, Robert.
I know, right? Like, he's like, they definitely sensationalize him. Like, I'm sure he's bringing them all the money, you know? Mm-hmm. So they're like really pumping it up. But
that's probably why he's so pissed, because they're using him.
He's like, stop using me, bitches.
Yeah.
And he even marked himself safe from the recent Hurricane Ian.
Oh, my God.
Which I just think is, like, hilarious. I don't know why that's funny. Obviously, it wasn't him, but...
Yeah.
Still funny.
Yeah.
Fans can purchase Robert the Doll replicas. Don't you want one of those?
No.
They can purchase books, coasters, and shirts. And you can even volunteer to be locked in the museum with Robert after dark.
Why... Why would you ever do that?
There's some serious, like, thrill-seeking people, you know? I used to be like that. I used to be all about, like, ghost hunting and going to the graveyards and, like, all the things, which is, like, terrible if you think about it. But, yeah, not anymore. Not so much anymore.
Yeah.
So today, misfortune ensues to any who offend or insult Robert. He allegedly continues to taunt and scare those who come to view him. Do not be fooled that the glass box he is locked in can keep him from his antics, because they do anything but. Guests to the museum claim when they attempt to take a photo of Robert, their cameras become inoperable and only begin to work again once they leave the museum. One visitor, who didn't believe the legend at all, had videotaped his entire day at the museum. When they got to the area where Robert was, the sound on the camera turned off and couldn't be turned back on. He went to talk to an employee close by, and the sound on the camera was turned all the way up, blaring into his ears.
Wow.
So I bet he's a believer now.
Mm-hmm.
Staff members at the museum report that they've seen Robert's facial expressions change. They've heard demonic giggling. They hear footsteps around the museum at night and have even seen Robert put his hand up to the glass, and one employee claimed to have seen Robert standing in his glass case.
Jeez.
Goodbye.
Yeah.
And some employees say that when they lock up for the night, they leave peppermint candy in his case as if to bribe him to be good and not disturb anything. And they swear when they return in the morning, the wrappers are left behind at Robert's feet.
Wow.
Yeah.
He's just enjoying some candy.
Yeah. He really likes candy because candy seems to be a reoccurring theme. You'll see in a second.
Go, Robert. You do you.
Yeah. Robert has, like I said, many fans across the globe. The museum curator, Corey Convertito, said that they have received thousands of letters for Robert. And they read each one to him.
That's cool.
Yeah. Some of the writers write to ask for forgiveness for being disrespectful to the doll during their visit to the museum. And as a result, have been met with terrible misfortune.
Just like I was talking about.
Yep. Others write Robert hoping that he can put a hex on someone who has done them dirty. Which, oh. That's brazen, because he might just put one on you.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that. Don't exploit him.
Mm-mm, no. Robert also receives emails and gifts. Fans send him candy. They send him money. And several have even left behind joints for him.
I love that.
Which, like, is hilarious to us, but the curator who, like, gave this little interview part, you know, that I was reading, she was like, that is so disrespectful. This is a museum, blah, blah, blah. And I get that. I do, but I still think it's hilarious.
I get it, but also you have somebody that people want to please there. So, like, they're going to leave shit for him.
Yeah, yeah. That's their love
they're
language.
Just being respectful. Yeah. That's funny.
Yeah. So Robert stands at 40 inches tall and is stuffed with a wood wool known as, and I looked this up and I cannot remember how you say it, but I think it's Excelsior.
Okay. I have no clue.
It's just basically shredded wool and wood. So that's what he's stuffed with because, you know, he's made in like 1900.
Yeah.
He is dressed in a sailor suit, which is thought to be formerly jeans. There's actually a picture of him in a similar suit. So we assume that's where the little suit came from. Like I mentioned, Robert once had a painted face similar to that of a jester, but now his face is only vaguely human, as it is very worn. His nub of a nose looks like a pair of pinholes. He is covered in nicks that resemble scars. His eyes are beady and black, and he bears a malevolent smirk.
Okay.
Clasped in his lap, he is holding his own toy, which is a dog with gaudy popping eyes and a too big tongue dangling out of his mouth. Robert is now 117 years old, and he still resides at the Fort East Martello Museum in Key West, Florida. He recently got a new display case, which was donated by someone who is, quote, a fan of Robert's, according to Corey Convertito. But despite his new home, complete with humidity control and UV filtering glass to preserve him as an artifact, the museum still gets regular reports of evils attributed to Robert the doll.
Wow.
Yeah. So that is Robert the doll, y'all. Not so creepy, kind of more of a history lesson, but
yeah,
you know.
It's very interesting. And Robert, you have a very interesting history and we respect you. And if I ever come to the museum, I will bring you candy and whatever you want.
Exactly. I would love to bring him some candy and some joints. I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
I'm going to look up and see who they think possesses him.
Okay.
Oh, it just says evil spirits. Well, that's very vague. But nonetheless.
Yeah. A little vague.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. We love you, Robert. We respect you. I hope I did you justice by telling your story and all that you have done and accomplished in your 117 years of life.
Yeah.
But that is all I have for you guys today. despite Haley being terrified, I am going to be sharing pictures of Robert over on our Instagram and our Facebook. Maybe I'll just block you from it on your personal
account. I ain't looking.
Because he is very interesting looking, very, you know, telling of that time.
Yeah.
But
it is very interesting, the history behind it. And like, it's not just some random doll that somebody got. Like, there's actually history behind it and how he looks and how, like, the life that he's been through. Mm-hmm. And it's very intriguing.
It is. And the fact that, you know, a lot of artists are very eccentric. And I think Gene was no exception to that. And he obviously loved this doll for whatever reason, you know, whether it was because there was a spirit inside of him or just because maybe he was lonely and because he was like a weird kid, like that was what he clung to. Cause I could totally see that being the case as well, but it is very interesting.
And Robert was there for him.
Yeah, exactly. We're like, we love you, Robert.
We love you so much, Robert. You're a great, great person, spirit, whatever you, you consider
identify
yourself
as.
Yep. And we are so honored to tell your story as part of our podcast and our spooky season stories because we love you.
Yeah. So I hope you guys enjoyed that. I know it was a little all over the place, a little punchy, and obviously nothing like what we typically would cover over here on Inhuman, but I hope you enjoyed it nonetheless. We'd love to hear if you have any experiences with Mr. Robert. That would be super cool to hear about. Otherwise, we would love to, you know, hear what you thought about the case over on Facebook. As I said, we'll be posting pictures over there and on Instagram. But we want to thank y'all for listening. Leave us a nice review. But until Monday, keep it human.
Keep it spooky.
Bye.
Bye.